Good morning. The scripture reading for this morning is Joshua chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years, from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when in Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day of when Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken.
Well, it's wonderful to be together again once again to sing praises and worship our God together. If you're someone here that's visiting, make sure you ask one of our members here for a visitor's card and fill that out. And if you don't mind, my wife and I like to go out and say hello to anyone who visits. So please fill that out and let us have that card. I just want to share with you how wonderful this week has been for my family and I. We've greatly enjoyed getting to know each one of you. We got to visit the Ashleys yesterday, which was a lot of fun. Chad told me the next time I come out, I can chase his goats with my girls, and if I scare them good enough, they'll pass out and fall over. So I'm looking forward to that, Chad. I can't wait for the next time. And that sounds like a lot of fun, but anyway, we have greatly enjoyed getting to know you and visit with you. I want to thank Daniel for that great song leading that he is doing. Every week he calls me and he wants to know what I'm preaching on so he can match his songs with my lesson. If you looked carefully at the first couple of songs and the last song, it is going to tie in greatly to what we're going to be looking at in Joshua chapter 14 as we think about being a Christian soldier and standing on the promises of God. You know, most of our favorite stories in the Bible are the young and exciting heroes. We like to read the heroes like Samson the strong man, Daniel in the lion's den, David going up against Goliath, Queen Esther, Peter and the apostles. Those are all great heroes to read about. However, in this lesson, we're going to learn from one of the older heroes of the Bible. That's why the title of our message is How to Thrive at Age 85. Sometimes, you know, we hear people talk about the good old days. I called my dad. I was wondering about this. I said, Dad, could you please tell me about these good old days that I hear so much about? And he gave me a description about the good old days. He said, Isaiah, gasoline was 26 cents per gallon in the good old days. I really like that. I wish we could go back to that time. But anyways, he kept going. He said, back in the good old days, leather jackets and jerseys were only worn by athletes. That's a change, isn't it? Because everywhere you go, we have people wearing athletic jerseys. Anyways, he kept on going. He said, back in the good old days, every kid had to walk 5 miles to school. And of course, every day it was freezing cold in the good old days. Also, he said, toys consisted of what your imagination could come up with a cardboard box. That was your toy. Then he went on to say that how the only remote control that my parents had for the TV was me, he said. They would send him. He had to go and turn the stations. Those are the good old days. Then he kept on going. He said, also, during the good old days, the only car seat that I had was my brothers and sisters. That's he'd sit in their laps, and that would be the safety seat that he had. Those are the good old days, I guess you could say. From that information, I could see how those days were pretty good in some ways. When it comes to getting older, someone has said that old age is when you've got it all together, but you just cannot remember where you put it. And I believe that is a great phrase. June has that phrase, I believe, at her house. That's where I got that. What I would like to do is I want to look at an older hero from the good old days named Caleb, who had it all together and knew exactly where he put it. This is a man who had a tremendous faith in God. Like Caleb, I want to know, and I hope that you want to know, how can I thrive even at age 85? So here we go. Number one, never release God's promises. 45 years before entering into that land that was flowing with milk and honey, Caleb had been promised by God that he would receive his own piece of property. We see this promise talked about in Joshua chapter 14 and in verse 9. Since that promise was made, Caleb had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness with a bunch of dissatisfied, unfaithful, whining Israelites. I really feel bad for Caleb, but that's what he had to go through. And then under Joshua's leadership, Caleb spent 5 years fighting as a soldier against the Canaanites. Even after 45 years, Caleb is still holding on to the promise that God had given to him. He says in verse 12, I remember God's promise to me. Now give me this hill country. Caleb never let go of that promise. And one of the things that this verse says to me is that whenever God gives us a promise, you can be sure that God is going to deliver on that promise. It's been estimated that there are over 7,400 promises of God found in His Word. Sometimes when my girls want something, they give me those dreaded words. I think all parents have heard them. But Daddy, you promised. Oh, no. I just wish I wouldn't promise anything at times. But sometimes I don't always live up to my promises. But God comes through on every single promise that He makes. However, I want us to know that there are some promises that need to be claimed. An unclaimed promise, I believe, is like never claiming a winning lottery ticket. Now, I'm not saying that we should go out and start playing the lottery, but I think it does serve as a good illustration. Suppose that one of us has a winning lottery ticket, but you don't cash it in. That would be pretty depressing, wouldn't it? What's even sadder is having the precious promises of God right here in His Word, right here on our fingertips, and never cashing them in. In order to claim God's promises, you have to read them and you have to take hold of them. One of the greatest promises of God is how through Jesus we can have the forgiveness of sins. I cannot think of a greater promise than that, can you? All throughout the Old Testament we were told over and over again, somebody is coming. Someone who is coming, who is able to take away our sins. Somebody who can actually have the power to forgive all the mistakes that we have made in the past. And so the Old Testament period was getting ready for that. That's why we have all those Old Testament sacrifices that were made. Even though they couldn't take away sin, they reminded the people somebody is coming who can. And so that's what Jesus did for us. By going to that cross and dying on that cross, Jesus, He delivered on His promise. And then you come to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and Peter, as he's preaching that first gospel sermon, tells the folks there, you've got to claim that promise. They ask Peter, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You got to take hold of God's promises. What's another great promise from God? I'm not going to get into all of them, or else we would be here for a very long time. But one of the greatest promises to me is that through Jesus, we can have victory over death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have what it's called the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. Paul there in great detail gives a description about how when we die, if we're faithful to God and we're in Christ, we're going to have a new body. We're going to have a body that does not perish. It will be a spiritual body. What a wonderful promise of what God has in store for us for being His children. Caleb says to us, never give up on the wonderful promises of God. I read a great sports story that I wanted to share with you. It's about a scrawny high school kid from West Texas. They didn't have a wrestling program, so he read books about wrestling and asked one of the assistant football coaches if he would enter him into some of the wrestling matches in the region. The coach agreed, yes, I will do it. I will give you the help that you need. And the little guy, he was neither strong nor skillful, but he had one enduring quality, and that was he refused to give up. He won every single wrestling match because he tenaciously held on to his opponents and wore them down. By the end of the season, he was undefeated and made it all the way to the state finals. The kid's opponent was a two-time state champion and was a top college prospect. As the scrawny kid wrestled, the state champion made a couple of quick moves, and soon the West Texas kid was pinned. The coach knew that his athlete was about ready to lose, and he couldn't bear to watch it, and so he turned his head away. And suddenly, the coach heard the roar of the crowd, and when he turned around, his kid was on top of the state champion, pinning him to the mat and winning the match. Well, the little guy bounced across the mat, hugged his coach, and said, "Coach, I won, I won." And the coach said, "That's great, but I missed it." He said, "I turned away just as you were about to lose. What happened?" And the kid said, "Well, coach, that guy, he was good. He had me twisted up like a pretzel, but you know me, coach, I never quit. I refused to give up, and so I opened my eyes, and there in front of my face was a big toe." And he said, "No, I don't know if it's against the rules or not, but I bit into that toe with all of my strength." And he said, "Coach, it's amazing what you can do when you bite your own toe." So anyway, I thought that was a neat story. And I think it shows, it gives us a good lesson. If you're ever tempted to give up, if you're ever tempted to quit, just remember that scrawny Texas kid. Bite into the promises of God and never let them go. God honors persistence. How can I thrive even at age 85? Hold on to the promises of God. Number two, never retire from serving God. both caught Joshua and Caleb. They were advanced in years when you get to Joshua chapter 14, but God reminded them. He said to Joshua, he said to Caleb, I'm not done with you. I'm not through with you yet. In Joshua chapter 13, in verse 1, we read, when Joshua was old and well advanced in years, the Lord said to him, you are very old, yet there are still very large areas of land that need to be taken over. You know, when I read that verse, I thought to myself, you know, I would have expected God to say, Joshua, Caleb, you've done a great job through all these many years. Why don't you get some rest? Rest for a while I use some of these younger fellas. But that's not what God does he? He says to Joshua and Caleb, you got a lot more to do. Caleb was 85 years old before he ever entered into that new home. You know, that's the age where most people want to slow down. Larry King talks about a time when Ty Cobb, I don't know if you know baseball, but Ty Cobb was a very great baseball player. He was 70 years old, and a reporter asked him, he said, what do you think you would hit if you were still playing baseball today? And Ty Cobb, he was a lifetime 367 hitter. He said, I imagine about 290, maybe 300. And the reporter wisely nodded his head and said, I understand. That's probably because of the travel. It's probably because of the night games, the artificial turf, and also new pitches like the slider. Isn't that right? And Ty Cobb looked at that reporter in disdain. He said, no! It's because I'm 70. That's why. I thought that was a pretty good answer. And so here, what I want us to know is that in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus, it does not matter what your age is. God can use every single one of us to do amazing things for Him. When you look at Caleb, six times we read of how he is described. It says, Caleb followed the Lord and served Him wholeheartedly. That's how you strive at age 85. Follow the Lord and serve Him with all of your heart. As Christians, we have a great retirement plan. We are all looking forward to heaven. But there is no such thing as retiring from Christian service. Whatever your age is, God can use you. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. So keep on serving, keep on praying, and keep on being available to God. May God give you and I the kind of endurance that Caleb had at age 85. And then number three, again, I want to ask us the question, how can I thrive at age 85? Retreat, never retreat from the enemy. Caleb was a courageous soldier at age 40, and he's still a courageous soldier at age 85. He was ready to go out into that battlefield. What is courage? Courage is not the absence of fear, but it is the ability to face your fears and keep on moving forward. Every soldier who stormed into the beaches of Normandy on D-Day were terrified. They weren't fearless, but they were courageous. When you are afraid, courage keeps you moving forward. Caleb, here's a man who was ready to go charging into the battlefield even when he was 85. When we follow the Lord wholeheartedly, it will cause us to never back up or give up until the Lord takes us home. Now, some of you may be wondering, you might be saying, well, Brother Isaiah, that sounds really good, but what kind of enemy are we going to have to fight? It doesn't seem like we're going to have to fight the same kind of battles that Caleb had to fight. Well, I want to point out that there are actually two enemies that Caleb fought that are actually similar to the ones that we fight today as Christians. Number one, you're going to have to defeat your grasshopper complex. You know, the Israelites, they failed in this area. 45 years earlier, Moses led them to Kadesh, where 12 spies were sent to the promised land to investigate. And you remember what happened when they returned. 10 of those spies reported, oh, the land, it looks real good. It's just like God said that it was. It's the best land around, but there are giants over there. In Numbers 13 and verse 33, they said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. 10 of those spies suffered from the grasshopper complex. You see, in their minds, they were already defeated. They thought that in comparison to those mighty warriors in Canaan, we look like little people. Well, they are only half right. According to Rahab, the people in Canaan had been trembling in fear over the mighty Israelite army for 40 years. So how about you? Are you suffering from the grasshopper complex? Do you think that you are little or insignificant to matter? I believe if you hear the phrase, I can't, long enough, it's not going to take very long until we start believing it. Remember that victory comes in cans and defeats come in can'ts. Before we claim God's promises and live in the land of victory, we've got to overcome this grasshopper complex. We've got to have the attitude of Caleb. You know, Caleb, he didn't deny that there are giants in the land. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 9, Caleb said, these giants would be bread for us. Isn't that interesting? I look at that verse and I said to myself, Caleb, what do you mean by that? What Caleb was saying is this. He was saying that with God's power, those giants, those Canaanites would be lunch for us, not the other way around. The wimpy spies were whining. They were saying, look at how big those giants are compared to us. Caleb said, look how small those giants are compared to God. The woolly warts, they whined. They said, look, they're too big for us to fight. Caleb said, they're too big for us to miss. We need to get over that grasshopper complex. When we think about what we can do for God, when we think about how what we can do as far as reaching the lost, we need to get in our minds, I can do it. Because of God's strength and with His power and the power of His Word, we can reach people with the gospel. And then the second enemy to overcome are giants. Caleb is 85. And he's got his eyes set on the prettiest land available, the hill country of Hebron. But there's just one problem. Somebody else is living there. Who's living there? Three giants. Now, there was a reason why these giants were the owners of the best real estate around. They were bigger than everybody else. And so they didn't have any intention of sharing the land with anybody. That was his first problem. What's the second problem for Caleb? He's 85 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems to be pretty far up there to be taking on giants. And so here he is, and he's got these challenges that he's going to be facing. In our society, we've convinced ourselves that the older we get, the less useful we become. One man was asked by a youngster, how old are you? And the man replied, he said, well, I'm 39 years old and holding. Well, the youngster thought about that for a moment and said, well, how old would you be if you let go? And so anyway, that's a good question. But here, Caleb refuses to think that way. He said to his friend Joshua, yes, I know I'm 85. He said, and yes, I know that there are giants in the land, but with God's strength, I can whip them. That's what Joshua says. You can go ahead and read it. Chapter 14, Joshua 14 and verse 12. Caleb is depending on God. He's depending on God to be there to help him as he faces these giants. And that's the way that we need to think. When you fight with the strength of the Lord, there is no enemy that can defeat us. You know, I know you watch the news and you look at all the enemies that are around us with terrorist attacks that occur. And also within, you look at all the giants that we face as we maybe have financial difficulties, we have marriage difficulties, we have all these problems and giants in our lives. But I want you to know there is one enemy that is greater than any other enemy we can imagine, and that is the devil. It is a constant battle. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, there it says, be strong in the Lord in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes. I'm telling you, with our own strength, we are as helpless as newborn kittens when it comes to our battle against the devil. But when we depend on God's strength, we have all the power of the Lion from the tribe of Judah. His name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. If we get this into our minds, then we can say, as Paul did in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One professor wrote this word on his blackboard. It was the letters in capital letter. There it is, right there. That was the word that the professor put up. And then he asked the students, he said, what do you see when you read that word? And many of the students said, well, that looks like it says God is nowhere. But there were a few students who said, I see the phrase, God is now here. When you're in the middle of a conflict, when you're going through struggles, it's hard to see God among the giants. Whatever your giants may be, I want you to focus on the fact that God is with us. And with his power, we can do get through anything. Focus on his power. Focus on his promises to us. David once wrote, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37 and verse 4. That's what God did for Caleb, and that's what God will do for us. I found a poem that I want to share with you that captures Caleb's courage. He stood before Joshua with flashing eyes. Give me this mountain before I die. But Caleb, you're old and the mountain is high. Choose a peaceful spot on this plain to die. The people who live on this mountain are strong. The battle you fight will be bloody and long. His eyes never wavered and he spoke without fear. I've been promised this mountain for 45 years. And as for the people being mighty and tall, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. For it's not my strength for which I am counting, for the Lord is going to give me this mountain. So let's quit talking while it is still light, for the Lord and I have a battle to fight. The title of our lesson is How to Thrive at Age 85. Now, I know it might be a while before some of us reach that age, but wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us could be like Caleb at age 20, age 30, age 40, age 80, age 90? Let's take to heart the lessons that we can learn from Caleb. Never release God's promises to us. Number two, never retire from serving God. And number three, never retreat from the enemy. When we follow God with the whole heart and depend on God's strength, you and I will strive even at age 85. In the land of victory, you'll be too blessed to be distressed. And you will find there is more to shout about than there is to pout about. And the land of victory that I'm talking to you about is heaven. Do you need to obey the gospel of Christ? Back in October, I went to the retreat that you all had at Camp Manitani, and I noticed that Grant had an interesting T-shirt that he was wearing. It looked like something about The Price is Right, so I got a little closer look at it, and instead it said this. It said, "The price is paid," and I thought, you know, those words really stuck in my mind. I know this isn't The Price is Right, but I am going to say the same words that the host usually says, and that is this: if you are not a Christian, if you need to obey the gospel, if you need encouragement from the church, come on down. Come on down and enjoy what Jesus has done for you. Come on down, repent of your sins and be baptized. Have those sins washed away. And afterwards, you know, you might have to wait a while, as Caleb did, but eventually you will inherit the land of promise. If you need to respond, I want you to know I'm going to be here in the front. I don't like to be by myself, especially if you need to obey the gospel. Please don't be afraid to make that step. We have our wonderful leaders in the back. And they are there with loving hearts. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come while we stand and while we sing?